coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, third hour? Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. This is Old School. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andre Matt slash Old Cheney, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. It is day, Thursday? Is it today day four for Huskers?
Would be.
And it's probably, you know, if they don't have a game on the 28th, all teams across the nation, I think, are in camp. And so, you know, the good thing about it, just kind of a overlay of camp, is everybody has the same feeling. A lot of hope. And now you're trying to, belief. Belief is, you know, generally built through the hard work and the sacrifices you made through the summer. But you're coming into, nobody's coming into a season and say, all right, man, you know, let's go 5-7, ready, break. Let's just stay out here like on Monday and Tuesday in 110 degree heat, and let's just bash into each other, whether you got pads on or not, and let's go 5-7. So everybody's, you know, coming into camp with the aspirations, hopes, wants to, you know, reach their team goals that they probably set forth at, you know, sometime at the beginning of the year. And so it's an interesting time. And then obviously, you know, in Nebraska, you know, we got a lot of, you know, expectations and the standards been raised, and, you know, you got to work diligently and very efficiently to, you know, reach those. And it's a day-to-day process. It's the hardest thing to do because, you know, 100 days ago, you thought 30 days before the first game was so long. Fast forward, we're less than 30 days away from the first game. So 26 days or whatever.
Those 100 days flew by.
And next thing you know, we're going to be 6 days. And so you can't let a day, an hour, a play, a meeting, a rep, a meal, or a recovery session slip by, because not only will the first game be here before you know it, but then the completion of the season will be upon us very quickly. And that's the great thing about football, but then also the hard thing. And so, you know, what the Huskers are trying to do, they're trying to do a ton of things. I mean, we played on the block. We played Coach Dana Holgerson and then Coach Shorts talking about what they're, you know, some of the guys, you know, that Coach Holgerson has seen provide, you know, caught his eye and provide depth. And then you got to dive into a little bit more with Coach Shorts as far as a position coach to be able to see, okay, what's the adjustment? Where have guys made some ground, and where some guys need to start making some ground in between the guys that are on their heels, and talking about Hunter. And so it's all good. And, you know, however the players take the message, because, you know, players, is it called rabbit ears?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, every player has rabbit ears, and now you got pretty much eyes on it as well. And it used to be, you'd be able to coach players. I wouldn't say, you know, you could call a player out in the paper back in the day. You could call them out in a meeting. You could kind of subliminally say some stuff, you know, critique a player by saying it, but not saying it, you know? And then that was generally how you could do it, right? You know, and I'll talk to my point about what both of those coaches said and how players take it and how it needs to be used in a good way versus but I'll tell you about myself though. So, you know, I came in and, you know, as a freshman, redshirted, had a long way to go. You know, started out 7th, 8th on the depth chart in the spring, end up winning the spot in spring, worked at it, made some plays, you know, and that was when you played a for real spring game. So won that, go through the summer. I hadn't played, but they had a black shirt poster, and so everybody was told about everybody was told about this poster besides yours truly.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. At some point in time in the summer, they took the picture for the poster, obviously. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in the poster. So how I decided to take it is like you're in that fork in the road in your career. You're going to take it and use it as motivation. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to show you, but I'm going to, you know, prove to, you know, myself, or continue to prove myself, I am the best guy. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to take something, a very small snapshot, and go in the tank. And I'll say I chose to go the right way. That's one way you can kind of compare to look at this, right? Now, they didn't get out there. I don't think anybody announced like, hey, you know, we're not going to put Jay in the poster because he hasn't played and he's still quote unquote unproven. But your actions showed me, mm-hmm. right? You forgot to call me. You know, you forgot to leave me a note. That's
Coach,
cool.
You got my number.
You know, people are asking why you ain't, you know, why you're not in it. I'm not in it, you know, and, you know, is however you take it or how you receive it and then how you react to it generally can, you know, work well or work not. Another thing is, so I go on and, you know, obviously start all the games, you know, we would go undefeated on the greatest football team of all time, or at least one of them. Like I said, it, you know, definitely in the top four, and it's not number four. So whatever you want after that is subjective of whoever is making that evaluation. So I end up starting as a redshirt freshman, you know, up there in tackles, and, you know, I'm, you know, splitting time. I'm the starter, and then, you know, Jamel Williams is playing, and he's a, you know, was a good player as well. So we get down into what we used to do, getting ready for the bowl game. And, you know, Florida had the passing attack, you know, and then
fun and guns, right, Spurrier,
and this, yeah. And then you got, you know, the coaches up there trying to do matchups, and, you know, I'm 210 pounds. And he's like, oh, like, I think Jamel might have been 185, you know, like he was faster than me, and he was fast, period. But I could pick him up and put him down, you know, decently, I can do what I needed to do. And so, you know, before we used to leave for the bowl game, we used to have a scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Like scrimmage?
Yeah, ones against one. And it was, that's where you know, when Lawrence was coming back, you know, he had Oklahoma game, kind of looked rusty. And then, you know, you start hearing the stories about he touched the ball three times against the number one defense in the nation and scored all three. It was for real.
Can't confirm.
I wasn't in on all those, but I saw it. I was like, yeah, he's back.
Well, right? It wasn't the number one defense if you weren't in on it.
It was against the black shirts. And there was, you know, a guy named Jamel, I think, was a black shirt at that time. Well, then, you know, they, Coach Osborne probably did one interview probably in between when we
scrimmage and
Florida. Or something. He's like, oh, all positions are up, including Jay's position. We'll see. Right? Oh, I was like, hell no. That's when I was like, okay, I'm going to play this game and I'm going to Michigan, because I just had enough of it. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't really want to split time, you know, which that's when you're in your own way, right? Because I'm only thinking about, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We had depth. And then and when you think about Coach Shorts talking about, or Coach Holgerson talking about the depth, these are some of the things, even like a Danke, Hunter, Barney, they'll face at some point in time. You might be, you're the guy, but there's guys behind you that can still pick, get busy.
Guys behind you that are used to being the guy.
Right. So then, you know, when you think, you know, and it was said before the scrimmage, you know, because it was like everybody wanted to know, you know, you go there. Because when you get there the first couple of days during the bowl game, you're just practicing, and then you might have one or more scrimmage, then you're fully in the game prep. So it was, we had a, you know, spring game. When you think, hey, your boy came out for that scrimmage, it was on.
Man possessed?
I mean, I was extremely focused because, you know, I had pride on the line. I had put a lot of work in to start, you know, all year, played well, did, you know, maximize my opportunities, as I like to say. And then, you know, now what else? Now it's another roadblock, right? You know, so it's like, you know, it's how you take it, right? And that's how, you know, now in the real time, when you hear some young players hear their name being praised that they're making strides, or you have Hunter where it's like, you know, all right, you need some urgency and consistency. I guess that's kind of like the theme around it. Maybe mm-hmm. if it's wrong, then, you know, then I stand corrected. But they said today, that's a subliminal, like, we need it every day. At least that's the way I would take it. And if I'm wrong, then, you know, I apologize. And let's just say it's not that, but just a player. How you take the positive praise has to be the same way that you take the negative praise or the negative, mm-hmm. right? Or whatever you perceive as negative. Mm-hmm. It can't change. It can't change. And that's where you're at right now. Because you could have a good practice. Great job, Austin. Then you're only thinking, you know, 2 days from now, you're thinking about Monday's practice, and we're a week later, and you messing up what you did well on Monday, and there's five things that you put in since then. Mm-hmm. So now you're 4 or 5 steps behind because you're so busy. I call it getting drunk off of getting your patted on the back and stuff, right? And so it's a very, very, slippery slope. I remember hearing, this is how I knew a coach that coached me one time didn't know how to, that let me know that you didn't know your players. And I knew he didn't really know how, well, to coach us as a group or me. You know, I guess I'll set the scene. We were practicing, we used to have a track, you know, where the grass field was. And then they had the freshman locker room, and then which is the North Stadium, and then South was the varsity locker room. So
you were on opposite sides of the stadium?
Huh?
You were on opposite sides of the stadium?
Oh, and you were a freshman?
I knew you had a different locker room.
So hold on. So you know that the big red project they got now?
Yeah.
That Taj Mahal?
Yeah.
When I was there,
it was not that.
You had a long urinal.
Trough style?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so you're in there getting real familiar with your okay? You had metal lockers. You got like one jock, one pair of socks, and one girdle when you were a freshman. Limited. Now that's right. You had, if you had to drop a deuce, there was no, you were not closed in. So if you had to go, you had to either time it out that everybody's gone, or you just had to do what you had to do.
In North Stadium.
And you better be, if you taking a shower, you better be first because the hot water is going to not last.
Run out.
Straight up. And you better have some flip-flops or you're going to have athlete's foot. So So after that first year I started, then they moved to me to middle linebacker. And then I was, competing with John Heston. So I had to, kind of reshape myself, reinvent myself. And, I was performing pretty well or something like that. But as we were going, this is when the creatine was like all like grainy. Well, if you don't eat enough, man, that just makes you have, you go to the bathroom. So I was like, hey, I got to make a pit stop at the old North Stadium, drop the deuce or whatever. And I'm probably telling on myself. And I remember like the coach in particular walking by. And another coach was like, dang, Jay is really making some strides playing in the middle. He's,
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
You know, winning the competition. He was like, oh, yeah. He's like, you can't compliment. You can't tell him he's doing good. He's the type of dude, you can't tell him he's doing good, because he might think he's doing good. When that lets me know, like, you don't know my dad then. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad didn't tell me I was good until I was actually really good. He's like, you're all right. So, but I mean, the moral of the story is, it's just a matter of like how you take it in this part of training camp, because it is a hard-nosed competition. The whole team is competing because there's not anybody that's really solidified. Like, what I mean by solidified, nationally.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you're solidified here. And everybody's like, let's be honest, like Coach Holmgren said, Barney, Dane Key, Emmett Johnson, of course, Dylan, Lyndon Meyer, probably.
Seems like Kutovsky and Rocco.
Right. All those, right? So they're solidified. But when you're trying to get where Nebraska's trying to get, those guys that we talked about, and then like the Bufords, Hartsogs, what's the safety's name?
Deshaun Singleton,
and those guys, you know, they're you know, somewhat solidified, you know, in their team, the Javon Wrights and Shavers and all those guys, and the law firms and all those guys, right? Those guys are like solidified here. But when you really are trying to get where Nebraska is trying to go, because you're trying to solidify yourself nationally, is that you have to start solidifying yourself individually and collectively as a team nationally. That's where the competition is. That's why you're competing. That's why everybody here is on in the same boat, because nobody's really, at least I haven't really looked at any of the things. They're not preseason All-Americans, or like when, like in 97, Jason and Grant had first round grades, lower maybe first round grades coming back. Amon Green, we knew was going to go high. All those guys, you know, we had All-Americans coming, Aaron Taylor, Scott Frost, all these guys that were solidified nationally. Mm-hmm. So now we're really competing against like a ghost that's 45 miles away, and the standard that has actually been set forth probably way back in like 93.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
If not before.
Even before mm-hmm. that, but came to fruition in 93, stubbed your toe, went at 94, 95, punched ourselves in the face of regret 96, 97, we're trying to right the wrong. So now you got a different type of pressure. And so with these guys, they're all in the same boat. You know, you have established players. Everybody, you know, there's players that national people know, but when you're trying to really solidify yourself nationally, both as a player and as a team, and then as a football program collectively, every day, everybody's walking out to that practice field, the playing field is level. Nobody's mm-hmm. way up here. And then, you know what I'm saying? So everybody's got to pull each other in the same way, same mindset. And then also the guys that are invested, have the right intentions and all that stuff, they have to spread, like, you know, mm-hmm. which is good peer pressure. You have to spread, because that's how you'll be able to like stay at a pretty top position.
I like the way you frame that. I've always had issues, I think, articulating that point, is that recent players that have been good at Nebraska have been the best Nebraska's had for that team. Mm-hmm. But the best that Nebraska's had haven't been the best nationally, right? Nebraska hasn't been running out All-Americans. Nebraska hasn't been running out a bunch of, you know, first team All-Conference guys. Mm-hmm. And this is no disrespect at all to the season that Ty Robinson had. Mm. But again, that's a guy that didn't reach double digit sacks. And I'm sorry, it's great if you can make an impact beyond the stat sheet, but at some point you got to make an impact on the stat sheet too.
Yeah.
Right. Quint Newsome, I think, is in that category for me as well. You know, it's great that Nebraska has a bunch of good football players, you know, for Nebraska, but what Nebraska needs are legitimate impact football players. There's no one on Nebraska's roster, you know, even Emmett, right? I had that conversation with Bach, right? Like, I like Emmett. I don't love Emmett. If Nebraska can't do better, that's a problem. I'm not saying Nebraska can right now do better than him. I'm saying I'm confident in him going into the season. But I'm saying, you know, having Emmett Johnson as your starting running back, he can very clearly be the best Nebraska has. He can be a good Big Ten running back. But being a good Big Ten running back is a far cry from being challenging for all conference honors. You know, first or second team, where you are a legitimate difference maker on the national stage that, you know, more than, you know, half the country would be in on, right? Because Emmett Johnson is a top half of the country back, maybe top quarter of the country back. Mm. But the teams that are in the top 25 right now wouldn't trade for Emmett Johnson. And that's the kind of difference maker that Nebraska is missing, I think, you know, over the last decade generally.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because, you know, I think, you know, as long as Emmett is the best back for Nebraska, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, because what he's asked to do is not apples to apples. And again, like, I've been in Emmett's spot where there are people are doubting you just because you haven't had the opportunity for it. Right. So mm-hmm. say Emmett goes and has 1100 yards rushing, or say this, let's just say he has 1,000 yards rushing, right? Mm-hmm. 1,000, or let's just say he has, he has 900 yards rushing, 400 yards receiving. Well, then now the perception, both locally and nationally, since you know, say he goes from top 30, now you're looking at like, okay, he's top 10.
Watchlist type guy.
Right. And he's the same player.
Yeah.
He just has another opportunity. What goes along with that is wins and losses. Nebraska's problem since, let's say, coming into Big Ten has been the best players being able to spread their playing ability and leadership throughout the whole team and leave the legacy. So then it's repeat on it. Mm-hmm. It's been more individually based. I'm here to do my thing. I'm going to be the best. I'm overfed and all this other stuff. Right. And that's just part of it. That's just how you are. Sometimes it goes as a program, right? Look at like, okay, for instance, look at Auburn after Cam Newton. Cam Newton came there to do one thing, get busy. Mm-hmm. After, is it really a legacy? Yeah, sure, he goes back, and there's nothing against Cam Newton, but it's like, did he really leave a long-lasting legacy, or did Cam do what he went, won the Heisman and all this other stuff, right? Mm. So you got to think about it. It's deeper than having draft picks, and not because there's a lot of guys that are drafted a lot higher than they actually are like skilled at, based on the team, mm-hmm. right? And here's an example, whereas like Alabama's offensive linemen throughout the recent history have been just road graders destroying people as Alabama offensive linemen in unit, mm-hmm. right? You're talking, and I'm talking about all the way back to like Andre Smith, right? Leatherwood, you know, all those, Evan Neal, right?
Right.
Dudes were unstoppable. Mm-hmm. When they were in Alabama, mm-hmm. they get to the pros, not so much. It's no different than when, you know, you have just certain position groups that really, really are highlighted based on like, you know, how the team plays and all this other stuff, that it takes them a little while to either live up to that hype in the pros, or they just don't. And so I think that like what I mean by being like back on, like on like the national stage is like, you're going to start here, but in order for Nebraska as a program to get where we need to go, we all need to be a problem for everybody else when we go play in those big time games. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when you're thinking about showing up to practice, and the really the whole theme of it is everybody's on the level playing field going to practice, because everybody has something that they're competing against and have to defeat or have to live up to. It's just a different metric.
Yeah.
Right. So sure. You have, okay, in the receiver group, you had four or five guys he mentioned. Everybody's trying to be the third, fourth, fifth receiver, or say like fourth, fifth, sixth receiver. That's where, so that's a pecking order, mm-hmm. versus like Dylan. Dylan's trying to show guys, okay, I'm going to be better in the touchdown, the interception ratio. And then I go from, I don't know, what was he at? 40 something in that list. And Lagway was one ahead of him. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to leapfrog Lagway. And then going into his third year, he's up there where Sellers is and all those guys, right? And whether it's...
I think it was Gronowski that was one ahead of him from
okay,
Iowa.
Okay, Gronowski, yeah. or whatever.
But either way.
And then leapfrog Lagway, mm-hmm. right? Now, mm-hmm. that's going to happen if he does what I just said. And then that will correlate to that record with Nebraska. Mm-hmm. So then, and he's the same player, right? Mm-hmm. And he's at the same like spot with Lagway. Both of them played as freshmen. Both showed like
potential flashes.
Mm-hmm. He improved on it. Say Lagway and him have the same stats. Florida goes 5-7. Nebraska goes 9-3, 10-2. Automatically, Dylan's up there. They could have the same exact stats.
Winner.
Mm-hmm. Same exact stats. Mm-hmm. You could go 20-6, 20-6. Mm-hmm. You could go 22-6 for Dylan, 20-6 for Lagway. It's going to be Dylan. Right? Mm-hmm. Because he's on a better team and Nebraska's getting more of the news cycle. And so when you talk about where you're at in training camp, it's more or less just going out. And it's a good thing, because sometimes if you have guys that are still there for the right to win, right? But they're really, their main purpose is to do their thing. You don't get where you need to get for everybody else. And you want to know an example of it? Just because he got in the news yesterday and still popping off on social media. Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah.
Right. So when he's with the Wizards, at the time they were the Wizards, when you look at that roster, okay, and you look where he came from, and you look how he was playing, and then now you look at Jordan Poole, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Now, granted, the roster isn't as good, but when you look at when Gilbert Arenas was there, okay, he got his, mm-hmm. right? And he got paid. He would have got paid anyway.
Anywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then, never probably made the playoffs, never really did anything, never really closed out games, not just him, but just the team in general. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Versus like on the flip side, Alex Caruso. Could he have probably went somewhere else and got more shots? He did.
Oh, yeah.
He was at Chicago at one point in time, carved out a real role with the Lakers, really bet on himself and really do something bigger and better for OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Then now look him. Now he's a stalwart and a two-time NBA champion. So that's where you're talking about taking that next step is like, I'm going to get – well, I always say this. I'm operating individually, okay, because I put in a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play my best for me, you, friends back home, family, and whatever it is. But I'm thinking collectively because I have to – I know and I believe the best Jay Foreman at that time was the best for Nebraska, the best in for the linebackers and the defense and all that. And that's what they're doing right now. And it's hard to learn that,
I'm sure.
Well, it's hard to piece through. It's having like the good angel over here. the bad angel over here. And you want to, and it's a good mix in both though. You just want to make sure you're always at 50-50. You're not leaning one way or the other.
Hmm.
Training camp, man.
Whew.
It was hot too.
And this is only day 4. Imagine we're all being day 28.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, they'll be ready to play then, but.
Day 14.
Or I was going to say day 8. That's when you really get tired of seeing the same guys. And, you know, you might just roll over to practice. All right, we're going to fight today. A little hockey in you. So, anyways, good first segment. We'll come back and talk a little NFL news since we got the NFL Hall of Fame game tonight. I'll talk about what it's like to play in that game. Talk about training camp right now and some training camp news. Obviously, we talked about the Browns yesterday, but we got some other guys that we need to talk about as training camp starts to roll. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.